Welcome to the Be Encouraged podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Brindle. First, I want to thank you for listening in and know that you mean so much to me. I am a wife, mom of three, teacher, writer, and by nature, an encourager. I'm here juggling life and all that goes with it. That's why I want to spread a little faith and encouragement on your good and maybe not so good days to lift you up and onward. I'll be here reminding you that with God, nothing is impossible. And as you take your next step in your journey, I am filled with excitement because wherever you are, you will be encouraged. Hey everybody, I am going to start off with a deep question today. What is driving you? And I mean, what is driving your thoughts? What is driving your actions? What is driving your response? What is driving your life? Is it the Lord of your life? Is He in the driver's seat today, or do we put Him aside? You know, today I'm going to be asking the hard question. You know, is shame even driving you? Is shame driving your thoughts, your feelings, your actions? Are there lies that are driving your belief system? You know, here's the thing. We all have to come to the end of ourselves and let Jesus be the one in the driver's seat. Do you know what I mean? So today I really want us to unpack these hard questions. So come along with me. Hi, I'm Jackie Brindle, and I'm the host of the Be Encouraged podcast. You're listening to episode 116, and here to help me unpack all of this is Whitney Roll. Whitney is the author of a book called Reckless Grace, which is so good. You guys need to grab a copy. Link is in the notes. Just letting you all know. And it is a book that unravels what the pit of shame has done in her real life and how she's overcome it, how she's overcome her past, experiences that she faced, trauma from her past childhood, how she was raised. I'm going to tell you what, this book, Reckless Grace, is something that really kicks shame in the backseat, if not off the road. So I can't wait for her to unpack that and for you to listen to in on that conversation where she does unpack that today. Now, as she raises her family with her husband, Jake, she is bound to help others to set them free from walking in shame and aligning them on a path of adventure and purpose that God, you know, has for them. So I just love that they have this coaching business together. And if you want to know more information about that, you can check it out in the show notes. And also on today's episode, Whitney challenges us to take a moment to pause and reflect and think about these four questions. One, is shame driving your thoughts and actions? Think about that. What part of it? Where does it stem from? What's the root from? Next, number two, how does God view you? Start there. Journal it out. How do you view yourself? Does it align? Does it match up to how God views you? And how can I serve others? That's right. How can I serve others? Because here's the thing. We can't do life alone, you guys. We can't be isolated on our own island. That's not a way to live our lives. So how can, instead of looking for ways to be served, let's look for ways how we can serve others. So how can I serve others today is my final question. Maybe it's something you're going to ponder this week. In addition, she encourages us to pray, yes, P-R-A-Y, pray, and ask God to come in and into our lives, the Holy Spirit, to increase our desire for more of Jesus in our lives, more of Jesus in our marriage, in our relationships, in the mending parts of our lives, that need mending, healing, all that stuff, and maybe to even hear from Him in our quiet time. Just ask God to increase that desire for more of Jesus. I love that she challenges us to do all of these wonderful things and to get into Galatians 2:20, Acts 2, and John 15, as well as Psalm 46:10, all come to mind as we unpack dealing things with shame in our lives. So I just love that encouragement, that biblical encouragement in this conversation. I feel like you guys are going to really get to know this sweet, sweet woman of faith who is just going to set us on the right path. And this is new. Faith is totally new to you. Come on in anyway. She's got a word for you today. I know you will be encouraged. So today, my hope is today that you'll just feel a little bit more set free than what you came into, and maybe shame will be taking that backseat, or if not, hitting the road. So here we go. Grab your cup of coffee, get on your walk or run, and wherever you are today, be encouraged. Let's go. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Be Encouraged podcast. I'm so excited to have with me Whitney Roll. Welcome, Whit.
Thank you. Thanks, Jackie. I'm excited to be here.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for y'all to get to know Whitney because she's just a really just sweet girl and just has so much genuine positivity and light to share with you today. I just can't wait for you all to draw in and build this deeper connection with her. For those of you who don't know who she is, why don't you go ahead and give a little backstory about, you know, where you're from and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Jackie. And thanks for having me on this podcast. I love the concept of your podcast and just that you're sharing faith and inspiration to other people, hope.
Absolutely. Hope is where it's at.
Yeah. So my name is Whitney Rail. Like you said, I'm a co-owner with my husband to a Christian company called Steadfast Life Coaching. We've owned that for about 5 years and it's been an adventure with God for sure. And then I'm a stepmom to a beautiful girl who's about to go to college and a new mom to a 1.5-year-old boy who just is such a joy and very challenging, but more of a joy. And then I just published a book called Reckless Grace, just sharing God's powerful testimony of inner healing from childhood trauma, relying on alcohol and food, just having strongholds with that. And just looking for men to get my validation. So it's a pretty vulnerable and raw book, but I was just being obedient. And I feel like it will definitely help those that are can relate in the ways that I in my story.
Absolutely.
And then after that, Jackie, we are traveling in a truck camper and just having like this nomad life, living from the road. Right now we're in Texas. We've had like a 7-day break. So we're about to take off on Sunday again.
Oh my gosh, that is so cool. A nomad life. What is that like, right? That is so cool. But you know, I feel like we live that way anyway, whether we're in a space that's, you know, on the move or literally our life is just moving all around us in different directions. So that is cool. I love that. And you are going to speak to a lot of people with that book, Reckless Grace. I think whether we've been in those situations or not, we've all had that void that we wanted to fill that we know only Jesus could fill. So I can't wait to unpack that with you and, you know, some of your experiences and how, you know, God really spoke to you to break those shackles of shame. But first, can you tell me a little bit, what comes to mind when you hear that word shame?
Mm-hmm. Well, when I hear that word, it makes me cringe because for so long I contributed to shame being there's something wrong with me. Mm. And then when I heard, her name is Brené Brown.
Yeah. Yeah.
The good old Brené Brown say that shame says I am bad, where guilt says I've done bad. And so for so long, I attached the things that I had done in my past to my identity, that I was unworthy and unlovable and just carried this shame. And so when I say that it makes me cringe, I have so much freedom in that area, Jackie, but I cringe because I know the toxicity of shame and just how detrimental it can be when we don't acknowledge, when we're not aware that we're wearing it, we're identifying with it. And then when we're letting it be in the driver's seat of our life.
Yeah, that's such a different thing when we let it drive us. Tell us, like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. So, I'll just share an example. Before I met my husband, Jake, I was engaged to a Venezuelan guy living in downtown Chicago. And in my mind, Jackie, I thought I had everything. Like I had the nice, luxurious name brand things. And we were living in a high rise and I was about to be married to a man who I knew loved me. And 6 months before our wedding date, we were seeing a premarital counselor because it was something he grew up Catholic and I was really pursuing a personal relationship with Jesus. And as we went through that process, it was about 3 months before we were supposed to get married. And the pastor said, I won't I won't marry you guys. Like, you're unevenly yoked. And his response was so full of rage and just like, so then it became clear to me, like, oh no, I can't marry this guy. And so I went back, and within probably a month, I called off our wedding. We had everything planned for, people had bought their flights. And so when I had made that big life moment, what I was left with in the quiet moments was, I am unworthy. Like, I thought this guy was, he was like the best I could get, but I am unworthy to marry a man who loves Jesus. Like, look at the past. And so that moment took me kind of on a spiral, a downward spiral. So I'd made this like heroic, you know, courageous decision. And then I just went, and I went, my drinking, I was out in the bars all the time. I was dating guys who had no interest in Jesus or settling down. I was just self-sabotaging because I was shame from my childhood and from my past actual mistakes were just covering me. And I was fully unaware. And so the men that I chose, the lifestyle that I chose, it was just very driven with shame at the forefront of it.
Isn't that funny how shame can drive us? Because there's such, it's like tunnel vision, right? Like, Satan only wants us to see the pit, right? He wants us to see like this pit that we dug for ourselves, and he wants us to believe, right? Because there's a belief there, right? That, you know, the lie that you'll never come out of that. You'll never be set free of that. You'll never find that person, right? Like all the lies. Oh, you'll never settle down. You'll never marry. You'll never have kids. You'll never, blah, 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 right? Like, we'll all fall into that. And I just think that's, how do you come out of it though? So you have all this shame and, you know, maybe this guilt that's paralyzing you. And I bet somebody here today is feeling shame for all sorts of different reasons. Like, maybe you messed up. Maybe you, you know, you said things you didn't mean, or now what do? Or maybe you're in your parenting and, you know, you just feel this like total sense of insecurity. How do you speak to those who feel absolutely paralyzed and can't move forward?
Yeah, it's such a great question. And Jackie, I'll just say that one of the things that got me to change my life was listening to a podcast. And so I'm such a fan of sharing tools, practical tools for people to actually change their life. And so I would say the first way to even just check, because if I was listening to this podcast, I would have been like, oh, that's not me. Even though I was hurting inside, I wasn't aware that the shame was then covering my inner pain. And so first I would just say, do a simple, like, grab a pen and paper and just write down all the ways that you think about yourself, how you see yourself. Because the way we choose to see ourselves is one of the most impactful decisions we'll make is our identity. And our identity is oftentimes based on our past or the world or the way we were raised. And most of the time, we do not want those default things dictating how we see ourselves. So first, just without judgment, just from a place of curiosity, write down, like, I am a good mom. I am an impatient wife, like, whatever it is, write that down. Then in the areas that you start to see, like, oh, okay, I see some areas where I don't feel worthy, or I don't feel like I'm showing up very well, then I would just invite the Holy Spirit to show you where that started from. So the having a thought like, I'm not a good mom, or I'm an impatient mom, can stem from thinking about yourself a certain way before you were ever a mom. And so bringing the Lord into that to break through self-deception is one of the most powerful tools, because he loves us so much. Wow. He wants to do that, but he won't force it on us. And so in my journal, I would write that out. And then I would say, like, oh, that started at this memory or this event. So I'm starting to actually see and unravel where shame might be hiding or where shame is driving. And then the third thing, Jackie, is that the good news is Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So if you have made Jesus, accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are no longer obligated to live under the power and authority of shame.
Wow.
And so that good news is that you can just say a simple prayer of, in the name of Jesus, I break agreement with shame in these areas.
Wow, that's powerful. You gave us some really good practical ways that we can even infuse faith and our authority in Christ to just take off the weight of shame and it be gone in his name. So I just love that. Somebody's going to be set free today. Let's go. I'm just so excited. I mean, really, I mean, come on, we're all human. We all face times where we, trip up, we mess up. We feel like we're so far from him. And it's almost like sometimes we just like stiff arm God. Like we just in our own way put on our own armor. And when we put on our own armor, we're not living in the full armor of what God has in store for us, right? So I just, that's just what came to mind. And my next question is, how can we combat the arrows and the piercing sting of shame in the workplace or the things that we cultivate in our practices at, with our family or being a mom or marriage? And you kind of touched on those things, but I think, I go to scripture, like you said, invite the Holy Spirit in. And I think my next encouragement, my own thoughts is scripture. And what are some pieces of scripture maybe, or things that you do that become this force back of darkness? So you're not stiff arming, you're just being able to be molded. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say another scripture that I go to often is the famous Isaiah 61, and it just reminds me that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me. And so already with the Spirit of the Lord, I have access to freedom and anointing, and then from that freedom and anointing, I have the power and authority to go spread the good news and set captives free. And so when I started taking that on as a way of life, as like a calling to be free myself first, which is doing the inner work with Christ, then I have a responsibility to then go tell people about this good news and help them get free. Now, all of a sudden, I'm not thinking so selfishly, like poor me with all the pain that's happened, but I'm propelled, I'm compelled to go and help other people. And I think that's when we get out of our own misery and we start being like, oh gosh, this is a purpose on my life. And that can look different in everyone's life in terms of what they're getting freedom from shame in. And then the one verse of that, Jackie, that I really, really love to meditate on is that instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double portion of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land and everlasting joy. When I was going through shame, dealing with a lot of the childhood trauma, I thought joy was just never going to be available to me. And so a double portion of prosperity and then adding on top of that joy, it just opens my eyes to how much goodness God has in store for me. And I don't want to leave any of it on the table.
Oh my goodness, that's so good. That's so good. Just that joy. I think somebody needs that joy today, to walk in joy. Because listen, life has its challenges on the daily. So like the minute you wake up, your kid didn't have a good night's sleep and you're like, I need coffee, but can't have coffee, whatever it might be, right? How are you going to find that simplicity of God's double portion of joy? And how do you go about doing that yourself?
Yeah, gosh, Jackie, it's a supernatural power. I mean, it's really just inviting Jesus into my mind and heart from the moment that I wake up and say, without you, I can do nothing. And going back to John 15, where it says, I abide in you and you abide in me. What does abide mean? It means to acknowledge, to yield to be yoked to. And so in order to do that, I have to unyoke from the things that I think I'm obligated to, like my email, or and say, okay, God, I give you my workday, and I'm just going to yoke with you for the strength and for the endurance and the joy that I need. And he always, always delivers abundantly.
It's like running a race. Like the Lord will give you everything you need in your race. And I think it's faith. You know, we have to run this race of life with faith. And I think that that's it. Like when you give God your yes from the morning, like you said, you know, it starts very early, but giving God your yes is just that simple turn of our hearts, right? Like it's like, hey, Lord, I mess up, like repentance, right? Like, Lord, just wash me clean today of whatever ickiness I've been walking through. And when we turn our hearts to God, he just is like, oh my goodness, I'm just going to draw even closer to you, because it's in his word, right? You draw close to me, I draw close to you. And it's just this constant reminder of every day, you know, the Lord's mercies are new. He draws near to you. And I think that's how you can, like you said, find that joy, because when he's in it and we're not in it, like that's joy, right? Like that just leads all the pressure behind of what we are supposed to do. And as a person who went for so long, Whitney, I don't know about you, but I wanted to be perfect. I wanted my life to look perfect, everything to be perfect. And when I wasn't showing up in this perfect way, God showed up in my imperfection. I think God's all about that, right?
Totally. Yeah. So good, Jackie.
Yeah.
It's
amen.
So true.
It is. I mean, like that's just how I live my life. It sounds like how you live your life, just knowing that God's got all the imperfect parts of us. He sees our flaws, and he knows what's going on. Like he knows our every thought. I mean, wrap that around your head, and you know where it says it in Psalms 139 that he knows every thought. It outnumbers the grains of sand. And if you've been to the beach this summer, lift up that, you know, if you lift up just a chunk of that sand, we can't even count just even a piece of it on our, you know, fingertips, yet God knows it. So
yeah,
just a reminder, I just felt so led to say that. And I just, thank you so much for your encouraging words in that, you know, we can do this on the daily. And, you know, is there something that specifically God spoke to you that gave you discernment to seek his kingdom? Because you said you talked a lot about shame and getting there, but what was that moment that you turned your heart to him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a good question, Jackie. And I just feel like there might be someone on this, listening to your podcast, who might hear our faith and be like, oh gosh, my faith is not to that level, and feel discouraged. Cause I was definitely that woman, and we all have been. And so I would just like to say that it just starts by having a simple prayer of asking the Holy Spirit to increase your desire for Jesus. Because that moment of realizing, gosh, my faith is not where I want it to be. My trust in God, my reliance in God is not where I want it to be. Maybe shame is driving some of my areas. It feels overwhelming to try and tackle it. I don't even have energy for today. It is a simple invitation to allow the love of Jesus to come in and say, will you come and increase my desire for you? So all of the other overwhelm and distractions and feeling not enough can just quiet, and I can focus on you. And so that simple prayer, I would say, is available as we mature in trusting God. And from the beginning, it's something that I'm consistently asking the Lord to give me more of his kingdom here on earth. And I will be praying that prayer till the day I die.
That's so good. That's so good. I want that wild, free faith that you have. You know, I think anyone listening wants that too. And I love it. So it starts with a simple prayer to increase my desire for Jesus, to increase that. You know, we want a lot of increases in life, increase in pay, increase in sleep, increase in whatever it might be. And this is the very thing that God says, I will give to you, you know? And I just think it's a for sure thing. You can have confidence and know that it's not like maybe he'll do it, maybe he'll answer. We can have confidence that that is God's desire, and he wants that desire for you to know him more. So yes, turn to him in the car, wherever you are, maybe, you know, wherever you might be on your walk, or maybe just doing the dishes. I have no idea, but I know God wants to speak to you to to ask him to increase your desire and to be still and know that he is God. My friend and I were just talking about this, Whitney, how the Lord's, you know, he says this in Psalms, you know, Psalm 46:10, where it says, be still and know that I am God. But sometimes we skip over the be still part. We just want to know he's God. Mm-hmm. But we need to what? Be still, to be in the pause, like you said, to quiet the distractions. Like today, ask yourself, what is distracting me from knowing God more? Do you need to turn stuff off on your phone? Do you need to quiet the radio right now in the car? You're going to listen to the Lord when things are a little bit more quieter, when your mind, right, isn't racing so much. Even if you got to get a pen and paper out, like right now, or you know, after this podcast, write down all the things that are just, I mean, the Lord's just telling me, and tell somebody today, write down all the things that you are distracted by, leave it to the side, and then just be still and focus on him. So yeah, that's where my heart's at for somebody today.
Oh, good.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, what is your advice for those who might feel like they're walking these hard parts of life out alone? Like, where did you find community as you started to step towards freedom, right? So, you know, what comes to mind when you think of freedom? And then also what helps you to keep walking the walk? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Community is so important. I would say the two places that I looked is church, finding a good church, and just getting involved, looking at how can I serve rather than be served, because that will get you in community faster. And then the second is find a like-minded coaching community. And I say that because tools are so important and growth is so important. And so many of us are like, well, I don't have time or I don't have the money. It is an investment that you can't afford to not make. And so those two things are really what gave me the breakthrough and the transformation that was sustainable, that I could just keep building and building from.
Yeah. Tell me about that. What do you mean sustainable, and how is it, how are you able to build layers in, you know, your life that is like foundational?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say the first is to start learning how to capture my thoughts. Before, I didn't know how many, like you were saying, awful thoughts I was thinking that were running my life. So before, when I was really big into drinking, before 2015, I would have a thought that felt really true. Like, I need a glass of wine. Needing a glass of wine is a thought that will keep you in a stronghold to alcohol.
Yes.
If you feel like you need a glass of wine, you will go find a glass of wine. And so I had to start capturing my thoughts. When I saw that thought, I was like, okay, now I need to be aware of how that's having me show up in the world. And do I want that result? I did not want the result I was getting from having that thought, because our thoughts create our results. And so I had to learn from someone else, an expert, on how to then start changing my thoughts. So my thoughts that I wanted to believe were actually the thoughts that I believed and were driving my life.
Wow. It's like crazy. Like, you know, you have to set this belief system and kind of rebuild it. You know, so much of our life, sometimes we just, it takes a second for us to destroy our belief systems, right? Like, it feels like that. It feels like it can take, you know, just like a second, but to rebuild it is going to take more thought, more time, more intention. Mm-hmm. But it's worth it, right? I mean, how has that been worth it in your own life?
Oh my gosh, Jackie, I would not be married to a God-fearing man. I mean, he is just such a loving, honoring man. I would not be a mom, because I thought my beliefs said that I would just repeat what was done to me. Mm-hmm. I would not be a business owner. I would be working at a job that I was miserable at because I was too afraid. And I would not be going out and adventuring and surfing and backpacking mountains and traveling to Israel. And I wouldn't have written a book to help people. So all of the blessings that are in my life would not be available to me if I did not intentionally start changing the way that I was thinking and seeing myself.
It's so powerful. So really you became an adventurer. When God sets you free, you're like, okay, adventure's on. And I think we all want that joy and adventure in our life and to build upon what God has placed in our hearts, that curiosity, and like seek him out. Like, I think that's so exciting. And it even led you to Israel. I just want to talk about that for a second, because if you don't follow Whitney, or if you don't know Whitney, I will tell you what, she went on this incredible trip to Israel. And I just wanted to know a little bit more. How did that impact you?
Well, first, I felt the Lord say, you're going on this trip. And so we did not have the money, but God gave, just figured it all of a sudden. It was like, Jackie, it was so funny. I had no desire to ever go to Israel. And then the Lord's like, you're going to Israel. I was like, okay, well, you're going to have to make a way. And he did in every area, but it was such a powerful trip. We got to go with Bethel Worship, their band. And so we got to worship in some of the most intimate places of history, like right near Jesus's grave where he rose, his tomb, on the Sea of Galilee where he walked on water. We were worshiping in a band. But just being in that place where there's all the history and the tension of the religions, yet there's a peace there that is so supernatural. I recommend everyone going.
That is so cool you said this, because a little while ago I just actually Rachel Powell, she is the chief communications officer at Passages, and it is, they take young students, they take high school students and college students to Israel. And she's unpacking a little bit about her own experience when she was young going to Israel, and how it's just like, she's like, if I could just recommend anything, go to Israel. And then you went to Israel, and I was like, maybe I need to go to Israel.
Maybe the Lord's calling you, Jackie.
I don't know. Somebody here is listening going, maybe they're calling me too. But I love it, because wow, just sit at the feet of where Jesus sat or wept or, you know, called on his disciples. I mean, tell me about that even more. Like, I just feel like I want to, how did this impact you as you face the day-to-day here in America, you know, being a nomad yourself, like, you know, like you said, like, how do you face what God is calling you to do differently now that you've been to Israel?
Well, I would say what Israel offered that was most impactful were encounters with Jesus, where I would just walk into a place and I would feel the presence of his presence so thick, so heavy, that I would just weep. And it wasn't a sad, it was just like his hand was on my heart. And so you have those moments, those memories, those actual physical encounters. You can't go back to life the same. You have been touched in a way that you're like, oh yeah, not only is he, there's no doubt in my mind that he loves me, but he is with me all the time. And it just creates this hunger and this intimacy that you want more of.
Wow. Wow. That is so incredible. I want more of that too. And back to just even your book, that Reckless Grace. I just want to talk about that and hang on those words a little bit. Cause I feel like when you go through adventures with God, you just realize like you want to live life reckless abandon and just all in. And I love that you remind us that, you know, he's full of grace. So tell me a little bit about reckless grace and what that means to you, that title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I would say the grace that I knew, like I'd heard of from God, was more of like a religious spirit. Like, okay, if I clean myself up, then I'll receive grace. But what I actually experienced over a decade, Jackie, was a reckless grace that was like, you are in your sin. You are just like covering it and rolling around in it like mud. And I am still going to pursue you and love you and call you closer to me, because I don't want anything less than having a relationship with you. Like, that's how personable it felt. And so it's not just grace, my sins are forgiven. It's like, I will meet you exactly where you are because I love you so much. It's reckless.
It's reckless. I love it. But I think someone needs to know that. I think sometimes we think, and just back to the whole part of that shame feeling, right? Like, because when we're rolling around in that sin, like you said, we can feel like distant from him. But you said, no. He is pursuing you, even in your recklessness, even in the moment where you don't necessarily see that God is there or feel like he's there or know that he's there. And I love that, because even today, still, you might think, oh, Jackie, you're so full faith, you know, this and that. But I still need that reminder that even when I'm being reckless with my life, or maybe making a decision that would please God, he still pursues me and loves to catch my attention. And I think he wants your attention today. He wants you to know that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen. So yeah, I love that. That's such a good word for today.
That's good, Jackie.
Yeah. So, okay. So tell me a little bit, now speaking to life, to all of us, we all are walking on different paths. We know that we're not alone. We talked about battling shame and overcoming barriers to live in our purpose. So do you have any words of encouragement for somebody who's ready to go, to walk into the new purpose, you know, this grace, this freedom? What is your encouragement for them today?
And is this someone who's already received Jesus as their Lord and Savior?
Let's do both. Somebody who's like, I'm on the edge, I don't know. And somebody who's there and just needs a fresh word.
Yeah. Well, I would say that there is nothing in our past or our present that cannot be overcome with the name and the blood of Jesus. And so if it's your marriage, if you're just feeling hopeless in several areas, or even if you're doing great and you're on a mountaintop, but it's really just turning over control to Christ, knowing that he loves you so much and only wants the abundant, the best of the best. And sometimes, Jackie, that requires us to go through a process, like a healing process, a learning to trust process. But I would just say to be encouraged that you are so loved. There is always hope in the name of Jesus. And we're all going through a form of process to become more like him, which I believe is the most freedom we can ever experience. The more we become like Christ, the more just joy and peace and love we have access to. And so, I would just encourage you that there is always more.
Yeah, I love that. Like, you have access to the Father. Like, he dwells inside of you. I just love that reminder. And if you need to go deeper today, I mean, even just check out Acts 1-2, go to John. You know, I feel like those chapters really just draw me in. I want to know who this Holy Spirit is, I go to Acts. I want to know who Jesus is, I go to John. You know, and I just feel like somebody maybe that will draw you a little bit closer and know that you are all of those things that Whitney said. So thank you so much for coming on today and sharing with us your story and encouragement. It just means the world to me.
Oh, thanks, Jackie, for making this possible. Thanks for doing this podcast. That's a lot of time and energy. And
I know it. Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much. Hey, everybody, I just want to pause and say thank you so much for coming into this space week after week, or even if this is your first time, thank you so much for listening, taking the time to be encouraged today. If you feel led, don't forget to go ahead over and click subscribe and write a raving review. Give it 5 stars and fill up my bucket today too. And if you'd like to check out more about our guest speaker today, click on the show notes so you can learn more about them today. Thanks again, everybody, and have a wonderful week.